Blog Talk Radio,
no chance to catch up. Radio.
But to all of our friends and family around the world on the Blog Talk Radio Network, thank you for being here with us. I was noticing on Thursday night, Dr. Barkley was talking with Rivers, which is the miracle man that we know. And he was talking and he said, Rivers has had a radio show for 6 years. Now you might say, well, who is Rivers? Who's Miracle Man? What's the radio show? What's this all about? About 2 years before I came here to North Dakota, before we came here, this young man in Dr. Barkley's church, his name is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. His mom came to me and said, my son would love to have a radio show. And I think I remember that you're on like Blog Talk Radio or you're on something. And I'm just wondering if you could help me help him get it set up. And I said, well, you know what, Julie? Not only will I help you set it up, I have a channel he can use. All right. And I'll come and help him do it. It was interesting. I was working in Midland right then at Domico and painting, which I'm just not a painter, but it's okay. Don't anybody be offended at it. I just won't paint. So we connected up and our very first program, I don't know, it was probably in July of 2017. Probably, yeah, it would have been July 2017. I met this young man, 28 years old, fighting against Asperger's, autism, his whole life, still is. He's blind, can't see out of these eyes, and without a cochlear implant, he can't hear. But interesting fact about this young man is he has a desire to be an ESPN sportscaster. You might say, well, Pastor, that's impossible. Well, it's not, because you ought to hear him broadcast a game. I don't know if he can hear people sliding into second base. I don't know. But he's an amazing guy. Actually went and interviewed with ESPN, and they just stood there looking at him like, what an amazing young man. We can't put you on yet. Keep doing what you're doing. And so on that first show, and this is not my subject today, but Miracle Man, if you're listening, I love you. First show, McDonald's, sitting at McDonald's in Midland, Michigan. We got a burger fry, and I got a burger fry, and Dr. Pepper, and we start Dr. Pepper. He reads the 11th chapter of Hebrews almost every single day, the faith chapter. He teaches. He talks about sports in Michigan, local high school sports, national sports. He gives you the scores of the baseball, and that's just who he is. And this young man, who was not supposed to live past 2 years old, by the prayers of the saints today, is 34 years old and can literally say he broadcast 3 days a week for 6 years, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. He broadcast for an hour, hour and a half for those 3 days. And when you think about that, one of the things that we do, Sister Leanne and I have done, is we provide that channel and we provide encouragement for Rivers. And I'm telling you, it's a seed that we're sowing. And every one of you who will pick up on this and say, God, help me to pray for this young man, God will add to your account in heaven every soul that wins. And I don't remember, I think he's in like 13 different nations on his channel. Now, you can say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? Because when Blog Talk Radio shows me a nation, I have to have 1% of my listeners in a nation. So there's no way around it. He has that many people in that nation who are listening to his program, and therefore we can tell because they stay there. And as long as they're staying there every month, you know you got a monthly listener that's there, and they're being a part of it. So Rivers, thank you. May God richly bless you. Amen. And bless everything about your life and your family. Now, just a side note, that's just another thing that's happening over there. We don't talk a lot about it, but thank God we have the opportunity to sow the seed and be the blessing. And you and I doing what we're doing is helping him be able to do what he's doing. And so thank you for being here and being a part. Now, last week, we started a series that is called God's Nature is a Rewarder. God's nature is a rewarder. And his very nature, the very core of everything about our God is to bless and to reward. How amazing is that? And, you know, I know there's a whole lot of people who have said about this statement, no, Pastor, that's, see, you're just chasing money and you're just chasing blessing. And I'm like, well, I ain't chasing money, but I guarantee you I'm chasing blessing. I know how much I want to bless my children. This week, my son turned 25 years old, my son Joshua. I think he wants it wrapped around me. He turned 25 years old. On the day of his birthday, I'm going to tell you, I wanted to bless my, and that is the very core of everything that this next series that we're in is going to be about. And so I want you just to get in and get involved and then hear and rehear and listen and re-listen and be a part of what's going on here. Now, we'll go to our foundation verses first. And if you want to continually hear this message, I have in my YouTube page, I have a playlist of all of our Sunday mornings, 1 hour of faith and prayer. So you can actually go to that playlist and this message will be in it. Last week's message will be in it. All of the 1 hour of faith messages will be in that playlist mostly. And then you'll be able to play it and play it again. To some people, you might want to let Ripley in too. To some people, to think that God is a rewarder goes against their thinking of God. And of course, the spirit of religion wants you to believe that God doesn't want to do anything good for you. He's a mean, hard God in the sky. If you can possibly do enough things that will please him, then maybe he'll bless you. But that is so far from God. That's so far from the understanding of God. And so this today, in this program that we have here, 1 hour of faith, I want to compare God's word that talks of blessing and the spirit of religion. Want to put them there? I want to show you the difference in the two, because what we got to be able to see is what's on the inside of you. Jesus said, every tree in me, in you, that he didn't plant, he is going to uproot if we will let him. And so there we go. That's where we're going today. And God's nature is a rewarder. And today we're going to talk about the spirit of blessing and the spirit of religion. And then we're going to also talk about the blessing. I get this. The abundant harvest We were in Adam's loins. Now just think about it. I don't care about all the people who have proved themselves to be fools and said there is no God. That's a fool who says in his heart, there is no God. We're gonna take this and say, that's not you, because you can look out here and see this beautiful nature. You can see the sunrise, the sunset, the seasons, and you know no man can stop it. That means there is a force that is greater than you and me and the wisest man on the face of the earth. There is a force that is greater than all of that. His name is God. And when you come to him, you don't get religion. You don't get religiosity. You don't get a denomination. You actually get to be a part of God in your life, in Jesus' mighty name. Can I get an amen from anybody? Now, let's make our confession. All right. Guess we won't. Where did it go? It'll be all right. Let's make our confession. I'd like to put this up here so that everybody can see it and we can all say it together. Here we go. Get your Bible. Hold it up. Make this statement. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says I am, because he is the great I am. The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making his word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing a hundredfold return in my spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Now, our first verses we're going to go to are back in the book of Hebrews. That'll be our foundation verses that we start from in every one of our services while we're having this study. Hebrews chapter 11. I think it's my favorite book of the Bible on this page. Let me just look. In my Bible, I have 1,619 pages from the beginning to the end of Revelation, 1,619. And they're all my favorite page. Why? Because you're going to open that page up, and somewhere on that page, you're going to see God Almighty. And he's my Father, and he loves me.
Amen.
And I love him. And I know by the Spirit of God that some of you are going to let me break off religion, religiosity, and the crustaceans of all of that spirit of religion. And you're going to allow me to help you to get into a beautiful relationship that is you and your Father living together, all together every single day. Hebrews 11. And let's go to verse number 1, and I think we're going down through 7. We're just going to make that our foundation. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see it in faith. That's the proof that you can have it. And it's your faith, because you see it and you say, well, then come to me. That's the evidence of what you don't see, because you can see it in here and you call it to you. That's what faith is. Maybe you need something. Go away. Mountain, move. Death, move. Come. Abundance, come. Peace, come. Love, come. Happiness, come. That's who our God is. That's what faith is. Keep reading. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. What's that mean? It means God saw darkness, he spoke light. We read it last week. Sister Leanne read Genesis chapter 1 and 2 to us last week on the program. God saw darkness, he spoke light. God saw void, he spoke land. God saw the air, he spoke birds. God saw the water, he spoke fish. God saw it all and said, I need somebody to tend and keep. And he molded and made a man and breathed into him the breath of life. And man became a living being. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the witness that he was righteous. Not that he was better than Cain, but he did what God said and accepted God's righteousness from that sacrifice for his life. And it says, though he being dead, he still speaks. He was righteous. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He walked in righteousness. Enoch did. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he, God, is. Excuse me. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, the fear of the Lord, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, became the heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Why? Because he believed God when God showed up and said, hey, Noah, you're going to need to build an ark. And Noah said, I don't even know what an ark is. And God said, I will help you to know what an ark is. Just listen to what I'm telling you. Now, think about this fact. Here's Noah, and the hearts of every man is so evil continually that God said, I'm going to wipe out all human life on the earth. That's messed up.
Yeah.
And yet Noah was righteous. It seemed that Noah and his wife, their three sons and their wives were all that were righteous. But at least they were walking with God good enough that it literally says right there in that verse 7, he became the heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Say it with me, my righteousness is according to my faith. Man, Pastor, I don't even think I have any righteousness. I don't even think I have faith. But if you just stick with us, you're going to realize that righteousness is a gift. All you have to do is receive it. And faith is simple. Everybody that's ever come to God has enough faith to get to it. God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. What is that measure? That's enough faith to get to him. And then once you get to him, you begin to build that measure by using it, by learning how to use it. And then your faith grows and your faith grows and your faith grows and your understanding grows and your faith grows and your understanding grows. And you know what? All of a sudden, life begins to change. Now, let's go back to verse 6 and then we'll get into our thought for today. This is a little bit of a recap of where we're at and what we're doing, but it's okay. I want to do that every week because I want to build every one of our times together on Sundays. I want it to build so that you can open up that playlist and listen to it again and say, I'm getting this message down in my life. I'm not just preaching because I like to hear my own voice. I am saying these words so that it makes a change in you, a change in me, and a change that anybody in the life of anybody that finds this, anybody that you send it to, post it on your Facebook, and their life will change because they get this. So look at verse 6. Oh, jeez. Hold on. Somehow, I pushed this button, had my hand on my phone, and I pushed the mic button, and I just recorded absolutely everything I just said. It's a big old long, I'll send that text to that guy. He'd be like, what is all of that?
Oh, you were voice texting.
I was voice texting. Phone, sit there. All right, now. Wait, hold on just a second. Now I got him texting me. What a deal. Here we go. Hebrews 11:6. Take the without out. Let's take the negatives out of this. Remember, they use a double negative to create a positive. It's a form of writing Englishly. All right? But just take it out. With faith, it is possible to please him. Now, I didn't change the Bible. I just took negative out. You go to the King James, it says, without faith, it's impossible. But let's just do the converse. With faith, it is possible to please him. Well, what are you going to focus on? A glass that's half empty or half full? I'm going to focus on a glass that's full. I'm going to talk like you do have faith. I'm not going to make you wake up every day and say, oh, no, what if I don't have enough faith today? That is not God. That's the spirit of religion. God, when you wake up in the morning, says, get to, wake up, I'm here. Hello, you open your eyes, and he's like, good morning, how you doing? Let's go, are we ready? God's saving the whole world. And he needs you alive and well and going every single day. He needs you alive and well and going every single day. It is possible to please him. I better throw that verse in. I wasn't going there, but I'm going to do it. Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 3. I'm just going to grab this out of the context, but you can go back and study it, and you'll see it's in there. Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given to me, that's Paul, to everyone who is among you, that's all of us, to everyone not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Think about this. God created Adam and Eve in the garden. Or God created Adam in the garden, and from Adam came Eve. Inside of every human is the desire to know our God. Why? He put it in there. God put inside of you and me the desire to know him. Why? He's the creator. So that means something. That means you can put money, you can put fame, you can put a job, you can put your business, you can put a lover, you can put your wife, you can put your children. It don't matter what you put in that spot. There ain't nothing that's going to fit in that spot except God. And that hole, some people call it a hole in your heart. I call it a heart in your heart, right? It's God's heart. It's an empty heart that can only be filled by God. And you can't fill your heart with how I live for God. You can learn principles about how to find God from me, But you got to find God in your own heart. Did I say that right? Look at what it says. He who comes to God, say that. Say this with me. I'm coming to God. Yeah. See, what's that mean? That means you have, if you want to finally understand this book called the Bible, you got to get you, and you got to make this personal to you. And you've got to find a preacher, somebody like me, a teacher, who will show you how to take this book and make it applicable. If all you have is a beautiful Bible sitting on your stand and you never open it up, you have the most atomic force in life sitting in your home, but you never release it. This is the most explosive book there's ever been on the face of the earth. There'll never be more books sold ever on the face of the earth than the Bible. It's the most handed out book there ever was. I know the Mormons are trying to beat it. I know witchcraft tries to beat it. I know it, but you ain't never going to beat God. This book has been handed out more than any other book in the world. Why? Because inside of this book is a desire in your heart to find the creator of this book. It's designed in you. And then we just read it. God placed in you the measure of faith to find it. Some of you said, yeah, but Pastor, I'm wicked. Hey, the Apostle Paul was killing Christians in God's name and proud of it. And God let him in the kingdom. Why? Because when Jesus sucker punched him on the road to, because Paul was a sucker, when Jesus sucker punched him on the road to Damascus, Paul said, what do you want, Lord? And Jesus said, that's the right answer. You get to live. Because Jesus himself showed up on that road today to stop this terrorist from killing his kids. If the stories could be told of how many times that has happened since Jesus went to heaven, where Jesus showed up and said, no more, it's going to be an interesting set of stories. I think since I watched the movie, The Sound of Freedom, if you haven't watched it, make sure you go watch it. And listen, yeah. Now Angel Studios want you to put a money into their account, but I recommend that you go and you support The Sound of Freedom. You support Tim Ballard himself and the Underground Railroad organization so that they got millions, multi-millions of dollars to go out there with their teams and rescue children from around the world and put the bad guys in prison forever. And may they get in prison, come to their senses, and find Almighty God. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul. It's just, or Saul of Tarsus. It's just that Jesus himself showed up that day. Wait a minute. Let's just go to Acts 9. I didn't realize that that would match so well here in what I'm getting ready to teach, but that's all right. Watch this. Acts 9. Acts 8, the whole chapter, is Paul persecuting the church, and it ends up with Saul of Tarsus persecuting the church, and it ends up with Saul, the stoning of Stephen. And the Apostle Paul was standing there holding everybody's coats and garments while they stoned Stephen. All right. Now, Acts chapter 9, verse number 1. And we'll take that down through 19. I'm not going to read it all, but let's just grab it. Look what time it is. How much longer have I been? I've been going 30 minutes. All right. Saul, still breathing threats, murder against disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. That's what the spirit of religion will cause you to do. Threats and murder. Remember the story of Brother Jesse, the planist, talking about his first church when he first got born again. One day after others, I'd like to, my wife, I'd like to go over and see you and say, Kathy, I see that you're fired up and on fire for God. And we just would like to have you, you know, on board, and we just want you to, can we come talk to you? And Brother Jesse's like, wow, elders of the church, see us. And he came in there, And he said, now, Brother Jesse, you're new and you're on fire, and we like that, and we're excited about it. But we really need to have you help us pray for something. Can you imagine being new in church and the head elder coming to you and saying that?
Yeah.
Honored to be. You know what the man said? Please help us pray that our pastor dies, that he gets killed.
Can you imagine? Oh, my.
Brother Jesse looked at him and said, I don't know what your problem is, but you done picked the wrong man to do that kind of thing. I'm a man of honor, and you can get out of my house right now. And the guy started to try to explain. And, of course, when you hear Brother Jesse's story about who he was before, you wouldn't want to argue with Brother Jesse when he tells you to get out of my house. Because the alligators do have to eat. But I want you to see something. What was this head elder trying to do? He's trying to kill the pastor. Look at verse number 1. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. The spirit of religion wants to kill the anointing, the anointed one, and his anointing. And who's that? Jesus. Pastor, teach something that makes me feel happy. I'm going to teach something today that exposes the spirit of religion. Listen to these two verses. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he, that's capitalized, adds no sorrow. I'm going to compare. Luke 22:2. And the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might kill Jesus, for they feared the people. Now, how in the world can you say, I don't want the blessing of the Lord, but I do want the blessing of religiosity and religionism? Pastor, I would never kill anybody. I know. But the point of what I'm teaching you right now, right here, in this message, this is one of the most important messages in this series of teachings I'm going to teach. You've got to realize that all of God's nature is to bless. All of Satan's nature is to kill, steal, and destroy. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. The high priest of what? The satanic church? No. The high priest of the temple in Jerusalem, the temple that God had Jesus teach Moses how to build. But the leader of that temple, the high priest, was wicked, perverse, and filled with his father, the devil, which is murder. How many times did Jesus look at the scribes and Pharisees and said, you're of your father, the devil?
Yeah.
Wait, he's the high priest. Well, Pastor, what was he doing being the high priest of the temple? I don't know. What's all these pastors doing? The high pastor of their church, the organization, or maybe even the whole denomination? I was watching the video one time of a denominational meeting. That was a gathering in of all this denomination. And the supreme galactical command of that meeting was, there was beautiful worship was going on, and the dude just walked up to the pulpit, put his hands up in the air for everybody to stop, and then did this. Well, you know what that means? That means off with your head. That means stop. And you know what happened to the spirit in the place? It was gone. Why? Because the man was a religious spirit. Not of the spirit of the beautiful worship that was going on in the building.
The Holy Spirit,
now wait, what are you teaching this, Pastor? I'm teaching you right now to look at your life and say, what am I connected to? Why? Because you have got to be connected to Almighty God. If you're connected to church and religiosity, it ain't going to work. Why? Because there's no life there. Ready? Let's do our comparison. Adam and Eve in the garden. Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 31. What did God say to Adam? I'm going to beat you down. I'm going to hit you with a club. I'm going to stuff you in a cave, and I'm just going to beat you down. That is not what God said. God said to Adam, you see all this? Be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion, and replenish. Genesis 2, God put Adam in the garden to what? Steward, tend, and keep all of the wonderful abundance that was there. God created the whole world, absolutely everything Adam would need, and then stuck Adam in a perfect world. Only thing you and I got to get focused on here is Adam sinned, snake got the power, Adam submitted himself under the authority of Satan, and then Satan had the control of this earth. In the garden, Jesus said, I am coming back. I'm crushing your head, Satan, Lucifer, and I am going to hang on a cross. And then all of history from the garden until the crucifixion, God was looking for men and women on this earth who would drive out the wickedness and bring the life. Now, you can see that in John chapter 10, verse 10. It's a verse that most people know. They've heard it spoken. They don't know where it is. They don't know anything else about the chapter. But listen to the verse, John 10, 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Then Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Now, while I'm teaching this right now, I am seeing people that are listening to the video weighing out their life saying, goodness sakes, I got a lot of religion. I got a lot of religiosity. I got a lot of superiority. I'm better than that person in the church. And I always hear the messages, and Brother Bill needs that, and Sister Sue needs that, and Aunt Mary needs that, and I don't ever look at my own life. I'm going to tell you, that's what religion causes you to do. Religion causes you to be a tosser instead of a gleaner. Religion causes you to go home on the way home from church and fry the pastor for what he just said. Hey, fried pastor don't taste good. And worse than the taste of fried pastor is the eternal results of it, because it brings a curse and not a blessing. Pastor, just get to the blessing part. It makes me feel better. Well, wait a minute. I got to help you see that you got to get rid of religiosity. I go to a good church. We have a praise band. They wave their hands when they sing, and I wave my hands when I sing. And isn't that cool, Pastor? Yeah, it's good. It's right. It's whole. It's wholesome. It's what you should have. But has it affected your life? Have you let that force get in here to produce life and life more abundantly on the inside of you? Or are you just a religion? Denominational guy. There's some really great denominations in our day. The Calvary Chapel has a great group of churches around the world. I'm sure John Hagee's got a bunch of great churches around the world. But what's the guy's name? Rod Parsley's probably got a bunch, right? Jimmy Swagger's probably got a bunch. Joyce Meyer's probably got a bunch of ministry people. You know, what's the big church in Australia that put out Hillsong? Well, that's not the name of the church, but anyways, that they probably got them all over the world. What's the other guy? The smiley guy from Mesopotamia. It's not Mesopotamia. The nation that's a city.
Singapore.
Joseph Prince. He's probably got a bunch all over the world. Youngie Cho's probably got a bunch all over the world. Why? What are you saying? What are they? They're like a denominational organization. Dr. Barclay's got churches all over the world. That's a part of what he does, right? But when you worship the organization rather than the God that's in it, or you worship the man of the organization, you're lost. You're lost. As great as the Calvary Chapel, which we can all see right now because of the movie that came out, Jesus People. As great as he was, Chuck Smith was a wonderful man. We can do worship him. Well, we have a Savior. His name is Jesus. Jimmy Swaggart himself said what happened when people worshiped him. He said, if I would never have listened to the praise of all the people around me, I'd have never fallen. He said, I never stopped praying, and I never stopped reading my Bible. I let myself listen to their words, elevated myself to a position I didn't belong, and I should have just stayed. Jimmy Swaggart, he said that himself.
Christ.
Which is why God's probably allowed him to still be in the ministry after he fell. Jim Baker said it. Had I not gone to prison, I would have gone to hell. Jim Baker said those things. Pastor, which of those men are you comparing me to? I'm not. I'm making a simple point. The garden is about blessing. Religion is about control. The greatest praise in heaven is when the great whore of Babylon in the book of Revelation is cast down and the city is burned. That's not the Catholic Church, although there's Catholic churches that will be a part of it. That's not the Mormon Church, although there's many Mormon churches that will be a part of it. I think I need to have you send a text to this guy saying, I'll call you as soon as I'm done with the program. Send that to him. Now, why do you say it that way, Pastor? Because there are good Catholic churches where people love God, love Jesus. People get born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, they're Catholic churches. And Mormon churches, Latter-day Saint churches that are the same way. Why? Because they found Jesus. Why they still have that name, I don't know. But what's your point? God's number one force is blessing. Religion's number one force is kill, steal, and destroy. Now, I want you to see this because some of you wonder about the battle that's going on in here. You love God with all of your heart. You love his grace. You love his mercy. You love everything about him. And yet, you don't know how to reach him. And the reason you don't know how to reach him is that what you're functioning in is the spirit of religion, and it's not in a relationship with God. I must say it again. Thank God you found a church. Hopefully, in the midst of whatever that church is, they've taught you that you must be born again, right? If they did, you're connected with God. They don't ever teach you about you must be born again. Then you got to go find a different church. But Pastor, why would you say that? Because if they're not teaching you, you must be born again, you're not even going to find the very foundation of what brings God Almighty on the scene in your life. Where's that verse? It says, by his great power, he's going to show us all the things he has freely been freely given to us by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, I got so many pages open. Verse 12. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, 12. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world. The world has a spirit. But the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Every part of the life as a believer comes down to the very first thing that God said to man, and that is, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and take dominion. That's the blessing of the Lord. Well, Satan knows, the enemy knows he can't get you to stop chasing after the God who created the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds, the seasons. So he has to pervert, twist the truth about God and religion and give you a false sense of security. So you'll just run around and act religious, but never have the life-changing force of being born again, so that the blessing of God will come on you. And when the blessing comes on you, you'll be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and take dominion. So he hands you the spirit of religion. And the spirit of religion does not satisfy. It makes you look religious, makes you talk religious, it makes you act religious. It'll probably make you hang out with religious folks. And when you walk away, very specifically in the Word of God, Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, by the Holy Spirit, Paul said, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. And then Paul said, by the Spirit, from such turn away. Maybe you're a pastor today. Maybe you heard this. Well, I'm not going to say maybe. I'm going to say it's the case. You're a pastor today. And you come by this video, by the nature and the spirit of Almighty God led you here. And you thinking about your own church. Man, pastor, that's us. We look religious. We talk religious. We sound religious. We hang out with a bunch of religious folks. But we don't have any power in this church at all. What do you got to do? You got to get your nose in this book, your eyes on this page, incline this book. I like Brother Terry. Ears, you are now inclined to the Word of God. Do you have to do that? No. But you might want to, because Brother Terry is one of the most greatest men of God I've ever met. You got to get your face in this book and say, wait, I refuse to look, act, sound, and talk about God and then not have God in reality in my own life. That's the point I came to. I'm like, wait a minute. People are casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead, and none of those three have I done. I'm not going to spend my whole life running around looking, acting, talking like I'm something, and I don't have any power on the inside. All right. Some of you are saying, you can't prove what you're saying, Pastor. So let's just go there. Let's read it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 through 9. All through the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the chief priest sought to kill Jesus. For what? Healing a guy on the Sabbath? Jesus looked at him, and in our day would have gone like, elevator, don't go all the way to the top, does it? You're going to say, you're going to kill me because I just healed the guy on the Sabbath. Jesus should have looked at him and said, I'm the one that told you about the Sabbath. I gave you the Sabbath.
Yes.
And the Father told me to give you the Sabbath. And I'm the one standing there healing the guy on the Sabbath. And I never told you you couldn't heal somebody on the Sabbath. Let's read it. This is talking about the day that you and I live. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. That's where we are. Men will be lovers of themselves. This book was written to the church, not to the world. This description I'm getting ready to read you is talking about people in the church, not out in the world. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money. That's why they manipulate you to get your money. Blasphemers, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Listen to verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such people, turn away. Verse 7, they are always learning. They got a big Bible. They got it marked up. They carry a notebook. They write notes. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge, grasping, the revelation of the truth. 9, they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as also was Jannes and Jambres with Moses. You ready? Let's contrast that. From the book of Proverbs, the word blessing. This is my New King James Version. In the book of Proverbs, I searched up the word blessing. This is what God says. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he, capitalized he, adds no sorrow with it. Well, everything Paul just mentioned by the Spirit right there is filled with sorrow. Ready? Proverbs 11:11, double 11s. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. 11:11, the blessing of the upright exalts the whole city. But the city is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked, and especially the wicked church. Proverbs 11:26, the people curse him who withholds grain. But the blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. Dr. Summerall, I guess, used a foreign government one time, and he sent a whole shipload of stuff over to him, and they put it in a big warehouse and gave it to nobody. And when they showed up in that city to find where the stuff was, it was sitting in a warehouse molding. Dr. Summerall went to the city leaders and said, I curse every one of you, and I curse this city. That food was sent here to feed the hungry, and you're sitting on it. They're like, wait, we don't want you cursing us. He said, the curse is already on you. It's too late. And you better get that out of that building. Any of it that can be done and taken out in that city. And never against it, he ever trusted a governmental company, organization. The blessing's on the head of the upright. Now just take those two verses. Blessing of the upright. City is exalted, and the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. And when you compare it to the result of religion in 2 Timothy 3, you and I have to say, wait a minute, I've got to look at what's inside of my own life. Go with me to James, Hebrews, James, and this will probably be our last verses for today. James said, out of the same mouth, you cannot have blessing and cursing. let me find that verse. James 3. Three, five. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest fire a little fire kindles? See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue that is set in our members defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Every kind of beast, bird, reptile, creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue in his own strength. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father. With it we curse men who have been made in the image, in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? No. No. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Now, Pastor, you didn't make me feel very good in this message yet today.
Yeah, full reference.
That was James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12.
Thank you.
The whole purpose of what I'm saying to you and me today is we must get removed from our life religiosity and looking good, sounding good, talking good, acting good, but not being good in here. Once you are born again, your whole nature changes. The whole nature changes. But if you don't change what's in your mind, it won't matter what God did in your nature. Why? Because you will still think and act and talk like the old life. Your old life may not have been sin in the world. It could just be the control of religion. Have you ever dreaded the fact that a church board meeting was coming? Thank you for the holy silence, because it was on purpose. Do you know how many people I know that dreaded every time there was a church board meeting? You know why? It was totally out of order. It wasn't the plan of God. The people of the church trying to tell the pastor how he ought to lead him. That's like Moses. We're going in here and we're taking. We got to create another leader. Aaron, you, come here. Create us a god. Well, bring me your gold. And they created one of the gods of Egypt. Pastor, what do I do if I find myself bound by religion? Get your nose in this book and look up every word you can find that means blessing, that means blessed, that talks about God's blessing, that talks about his abundance, that talks about supernatural life that is ours. If you don't do that, you might miss the rapture. Are you telling me that if I don't believe in the blessing of God, I'll miss the rapture? Yep, that's just exactly what I said. But I prayed the prayer one time. I know you prayed the prayer one time. But praying the prayer one time is not the relationship that's God. If you prayed the prayer one time and go back and live like you just have been living and there's no change on the inside, the prayer didn't do anything for you. And you don't pray a prayer one time. You pray every single day. You've not entered into a church or a denomination. You've entered into a relationship with Almighty God. How bad am I cursed, Pastor? Well, you're not cursed at all if you've actually prayed the prayer of salvation. God wants to severely bless your life. But I know I was sent here today to deal with the spirit of religion, surface level, to help people say, wait a minute, I got to get this stuff off of my life so that I can receive the blessing of Almighty God. And I can begin to function in the blessing. Do you realize if you don't believe God wants to bless you, you're never going to grow spiritually? Because how are you going to understand the word unless you accept the blessing of God to open the word up? It's a blessing when he opens the word up to you. How do you receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness unless you're willing to receive blessing from Almighty God? You ready for this? How are you going to be able to have heaven and the blessing of heaven when you're finished on this earth if you are against the God who gives blessing? How do you expect him to take you to heaven when on earth you fought him? Don't bless me. He's up in heaven saying, there's only one way that you can get from earth to heaven, and that is receive the blessing when I carry you over. Pause me just a second. The verse that we read says, the blessing of the Lord makes us rich and adds no sorrow with it. Yeah, but Pastor, it feels so good when I wallow in the sour, in the sorrow. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. The enemy of your life wants you bound in death, hell and destruction your whole life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. But you don't get life and life more abundantly just because you hang around all of us that enjoy it and love it. Until you're willing to look at heaven and say, I receive all of the blessing of the blood of Jesus in my life, you're just going to act religious. I might not just let that sentence hang there in the air and get up and get a cup of coffee and eat a piece of toast. And now, I'm not calling anybody stupid, dumb, or ignorant. I'm telling you that Hebrews 11:6 is the greatest faith verse in the whole Bible. And it's the core of this study that we're doing. Next week when we come, we're going to talk about how God has placed in every seed the abundance of many multiple seeds. Think about this. If all you do is look, think, talk, and act religious, you will never know the joy of a relationship with your Father on the inside of you. I'm going to give us a verse about next week. You ready? Let's get one of next week's verses. Where did it go? Hebrews, I think that's what it is. Hebrews 7:5. Watch this. Hebrews 7:5. Indeed, those who are the sons of Levi, that's the people that led the church, who received the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from people according to the law, that is from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. I didn't read that because I'm taking up the tithes and offerings, but if you brought your tithes and offerings, please send them how we do. Send them in Messenger, send them on Facebook, send them through the Cash App or PayPal, however those of you that do. What's the whole point? Levi was in the loins of Abraham. Are you ready? Abraham was in the loins of Noah. Noah was in the loins of Adam. There's 8 billion people on the earth today, and all of us were in the loins of Adam. I'm just letting it soak in. How many people were actually in Adam's loins? Any man who has ever lived on this earth was in Adam's loins. That is the level of abundance God wants all of us to see, know, and understand. In Adam's sperm and Eve's eggs was the whole world. Inside of this human body, how small and minute were each one of us who was in Adam's loins. See, when you go clear back to the garden, this book, there's not a contradiction in God's word. Even though there's 100 people that wrote a book about the contradictions of God's word or whatever their title is. There's not one contradiction. Why? God's perfect. He's holy. It all comes together. So if nobody's ever taught you to go to that first page of the book and it just read about the blessing, the blessing, the blessing, God saw what he created, it was good. God saw what he created, it was good. God saw that and it was good. He created man and he was good. He created man and then from man he took woman and he said, she's good. And Adam woke up and saw Eve and said, whoa, man, look at there. And Adam called her good. Somehow we got to go to that first page and live in it long enough that it breaks up the spirit of religion and religiosity, which has done its best to sit on and destroy us. Well, Pastor, I think you're putting a lot more into it than what you need to. Well, I'm going to tell you, I have lived in Genesis chapter 1 now for, I don't know, 15 years. Maybe 20. And I just decided all those years ago that I'm going to put that verse, Genesis 1:26, going to be down inside of my life. And it's going to be the core foundation of everything I believe about God. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion, replenish this earth. That's so different than you did that and we're kicking you out of the church. And you said that, and we're kicking you out of the church. And see where that goes? What they said to Jesus. And they sought to kill him because he healed the man on the Sabbath. That's the spirit of religion, and it doesn't have anything to do with you and I living and walking in faith in Almighty God. Pastor, should I go around and rebuke everybody who's in the spirit of religion? No. No, show them the spirit of abundance of our Father. Teach them there's a relationship with Almighty God. Teach them it's not about their denomination and about all that stuff. But just look at them and just say, do you have a relationship with God? Do you talk to God personally every day? And they may look at you and call you crazy. Do you know that's okay? They called Jesus crazy. And the same persecution that he went through, you're going to go through. But I want to say what I'm saying today. Let me say this right. The Holy Spirit of God, I was listening to a message 3 weeks ago, a month ago, whatever it was. I heard him say this statement. The very nature of God is a rewarder. I looked it up, and it's not in my notes in this one. The Bible actually says he daily loads us down with blessings. Oh, that's when it was. Brother Jerry, when I was out in California with my children for Father's Day, that's when that came to me. Because Brother Jerry got up and preached it. That God daily loads us down with blessings. Psalm 68:19. This will truly be my last set of verses. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation. Selah. Sit down and think about it. See, that's so different than these people like, well, that guy's got a jet and they got a big church and if you just listen to the tone of the voice, you realize, man, this person's all messed up in every part of their life. Think about this. God gave Solomon billions of dollars in our day to build a church, a temple. I heard somebody talking this week. There was 180,000 employees who built the temple. 180,000 employees who built the temple. Do you know how many employees 180,000 employees are?
That is a load of
them. Real quick while we're here, search up how many employees there are for Walmart in America. Let's just compare it. Pastor, you're just saying what somebody else said. Oh, no. Just go to 2 Chronicles and read where Solomon is talking about what happens when they built the temple. You can read it. It's all right there, living color. All you got to do is open the Bible and read it. Why are you saying this to us? Because the spirit of religion wants you broke, busted, and disgusted. And the spirit of Almighty God wants you blessed and highly favored. Did it say?
2.1 million associates around the world, nearly 1.6 million in the U.S. alone.
So 1.6 million employees in the United States of America. To run all the Walmarts there are, now pay attention, I'm going somewhere with this and then we'll be done. It's my third closing. They're building one temple in one city. And they have 180,000 employees. Pastor, there's just no way. Read how many animals were sacrificed. And for all of you who are so skeptical you're going to miss heaven, go read the contemporary historian of the day, and he's going to say the same thing. Why? Because this word is truth. There's no lie in this. God don't exaggerate. Because as soon as he exaggerates, he can't be God. So what you read in this book, you can take to heaven. Can you tell that right now I'm really bumping heads with the spirit of religion? Can you tell it?
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason that God is having me do this is he wants you to actually make heaven and not miss the rapture. And then he wants you to help him be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth. On this earth, he wants you to be a city set on a hill that cannot be hid, that truly helps people everywhere you go and everything you do. I'm not going to bless you if you just got the spirit of religiosity. You actually have to have a relationship with him. And then the blessing and the abundance of Almighty God comes upon you. Let's pray. That was the third closing. I'm done. It's all over. Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know you want to bless me.
I know you want to bless me.
And I receive the blessing from you.
And I receive the blessing from you.
Just put your hands out like you're receiving a gift and just say, I receive from you.
I receive from you, Lord.
I receive Jesus, my Savior.
I receive Jesus, my Savior.
I receive the free gift of righteousness.
I receive the free gift.
I receive the abundance of grace.
I receive the abundance of grace.
Bless my life beyond anything I've ever imagined.
Bless my life beyond anything I've ever imagined.
I thank you for it.
I thank you for it.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. And amen. Now, get your communion elements and let's receive communion together today like we do every time we come here, because this is one of those things that there's so many people that have been taught to be afraid of communion. Don't be afraid of communion. Be afraid of not being in the presence of God.
Amen.
That's what you should fear. That's what you should fear. You should not fear being in the presence of God. If you've sinned, don't run from him. Run to him. He already knows you did it. Run to him. That's what communion is about. Now, how our process works here, takes us about 15 minutes to take communion. I know that's a lot longer communion service than what most people are used to, but it doesn't matter. Myself personally, I believe when you do it short and we don't give the proper attendance to God's word and we don't actually read the verses and we don't actually tell people what's going on, myself personally, I believe we are doing wrong. We're just teaching people to be grape juice and cracker people. And this ain't about grape juice and crackers. This is about you and I fellowshipping with Almighty God and walking in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he threw the bread all the way across the room and kicked it. Sister Leanne was getting everything ready and it just jumped right off the counter. It's okay. And in the same manner, verse 25, he also took the cup, said, this cup, not the plastic, what's in it, is the new covenant in my blood. Means he's going to do something different in the new covenant than the old. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. His death ended the old covenant, the Passover feast. His resurrection installed the new covenant, his broken body and his blood shed. Verse 28, here's the process. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. God's perfect love has been perfected amongst us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Well, God just said through Paul that if we'll judge ourselves, we get to be bold in the day of judgment when somebody's judging us. Why? Because as he is right now, so are we in this world. I just heard somebody say, it doesn't say that, Pastor. Open your Bible and read. Perfect love cast out fear and the torment, the trauma that comes with fear. Because there is no fear in God's perfect love. Isn't it wonderful? Now, Jesus did away with a feast that took a whole day. And then sometimes it took a whole week. And he put it into a piece of bread and the fruit of the vine and said, this is the new covenant. I am everything the Passover feast was pointing to. And when you receive this, easy is it for us to receive a glass of grape juice and a piece of bread. That's real easy. How easy was the Passover feast? It wasn't easy at all. Because you had to raise a sheep. You had to actually have one born that was perfect and spotless. And then you had to care for it almost like it was your own child so that it could be the spotless lamb that defeated special things. It was intense what you had to do just to get to that day. And then you had to sacrifice the sheep in a specific manner, and you had to cook these herbs, and you had to have this drink, and you had to have that oil and this anointing. And you had to be in the house, and you had to do it this way, and everybody had to do it like you, and had to eat the entrails. Now, wait a minute. All of that pointed to Jesus, and he put it in this. Why? Because all you have to do to be saved is reach out and receive him in your life. So let's pray the prayer of salvation together. As you pray this prayer, if you will let the simplicity of the gospel reach all the way into your life, you truly will have and be born again and receive the salvation of Almighty God. Ready? Pray this with me. See it? I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Stand here next to me. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the Word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. If you haven't met him yet, this is my father-in-law, Lee Papel. And it looks like he has a black eye, but he really doesn't.
Yes, he really does.
He really does.
The bed got away from him.
The bed got away and met the wall, but don't worry about it. Here we go. Now, for those of you who just joined with us and you just are first time have prayed this prayer, we welcome you into the kingdom. You didn't get church. You didn't get religion. You didn't get denomination. You just got a relationship with Almighty God. He took you from sin to righteousness. From fear to faith, from darkness to light. And then he said, adopt them into the family, make them an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. All of that came because you said, I receive you, Jesus. And now you're right with God. And you're able to receive the communion elements. All right? Now, we're going to talk a little bit more at the end. But since my father-in-law is standing next to me, I want to receive this. So then in a few minutes, you can actually go sit back down. So your items are right there. If you'd like to receive communion with us. All right? Here we go. Let's read this top part. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your body broken, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Let's hold up the bread. Ready? Let's receive the body of Christ together. Thank you, Jesus, for your body that was broken for me. Thank you that you did it all for me. In Jesus' name. Now, let's lift up the cup of blessing. In the name of Jesus, we receive the blood of Jesus. And just like Jesus did, he gave us a better covenant and a better promise. Better. And now, the next part of our communion service is we're going to speak the word of God about what just happened when we received it. Every one of these lines is a portion of a verse of scripture. And it's all laid out by the Holy Spirit for this body of believers. So, here we go. You ready? Pray this out loud with me. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. In my mind, my will, and my emotions. There is nothing missing, nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, the verses of Scripture about the blood of Jesus. I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged, my robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Now, let me say one more thing before we go. If today this message only made you angry, the spirit of religion is controlling you. Because all I'm doing is helping you find God. Pastor, what do I do if that's the case? You're going to have to open the Bible yourself and begin to dig out the truth of God's holy word. And so what I encourage you to do is go to last week's message and this week's message. And if you need to find the playlist that has all of the Sunday morning messages in it, I'll be glad to send it to you. It's a playlist. You can start at the top and you can just listen. And all of these messages will be right there. We want to be a blessing to you. That's what this whole Sunday morning focus is about. God's very nature is to bless you. But he can't bless you when you fellowship with the spirit of religion that hates him.
Amen.
You actually have to get rid of the spirit of religion and walk with the spirit of Christ. And that's what we're teaching you right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, that's it. Until we see you again tomorrow morning right here on this YouTube channel for Rebuilding the Walls of Righteousness, remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is
Lord.
God bless you, Roger, Rebecca, and all of our friends who come in the future and are a part of this program. We call you blessed. Tell everybody goodbye. Wait, let me pull this picture up. You can see them all. Well, you can't see them, but they can see us. Come on, work computer. There you go. That's you and me waving to them. Goodbye. See you again next time in Jesus' mighty name. Blog Talk Radio, wherever you may be, we call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name.